Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed, so I call your name, your name.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Tonight is focused on your personal stories. We invite you to call in and share your stories with us. Many of us have had personal experiences that defy mainstream thinking, those things that we don't talk about with just anyone. So we would like you to join us as we explore the types of experiences that people have, what they mean, and how we can integrate them into our daily lives. Although mediums provide a valuable connection to the deceased, this show centers around your direct experiences, which do not involve a medium. Your hosts for this evening's Signs of Life radio show will be Janet Mayer, Forever Family Foundation certified medium and author of Spirits, They Are Present, Dr. Betty Kovach, author of The Miracle of Death, There Is Nothing But Life, and the international award-winning Merchants of Light, The Consciousness That Is Changing the World, as well as yours truly, Kimberly Saavedra, of the director of the Comlock Center. Please take down this number so you can join our conversation, 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. You could share your personal experiences. It could be visions or dreams or messages you received in any form from loved ones in spirit. Hello, Betty, and hello, Janet.
Hello, Kim.
How's everyone?
Hello, Kim. Good evening.
How are you doing?
So, what have you been thinking about, Janet?
Well, I always meditate before the show, like during the day. And I had this, I've been having a lot of synchronistic moments, you know, happening like all week. It's kind of crazy just the way they keep flowing and flowing. I'm like, that's good. That means I'm kind of in tune, doing what I'm supposed to. And it was really funny because I always pick a couple books off the bookshelf. And I kind of, you know, I'm one of these people that I like to just open it up to any page, just open up the book. And I always kind of, you know, compare it to people who pull, you know, a tarot card, or, you know, they just, you know, want a sign and they, you know, get a sign or something like that. And I was opening this book today and it was really kind of funny because I pulled this book out and it was by Dr. Jeff Tarrant, which I know him. And I just happened to pull this book out and I was like, oh, you know, I need to check messages today. I better do that first. And I got online to check messages. And here, one of the first things that I received was a message from a woman who was talking about him. And I thought that was really funny because I'm like, okay, well, that's really cool. So, you know, I got done doing my work with the, you know, emails. And when I was finished, I was pulling out a couple of books. I'd pull out yours, Betty. I pull out yours and mine. And I thought, you know, I was thinking about my book with, you know, being, you know, the name of it, Spirits, They Are Present. And how does it relate to everyone? And it was interesting because one of the books I pulled out was by, what is it, Eckhart Tolle? And I think it's called A New Age. If that's the book right here, let me see. Yeah, A New Earth. That's it, A New Earth. And one of the pages when I opened it said, what is your relationship with the present moment? And I smiled because I thought, well, my book is Spirits, They Are Present. And I thought, we're in the present moment. And that's what the show is about tonight, is about people connecting with their loved ones in the present moment now. And then I pulled your book out, Betty, and I thought, I'm going to just see if yours matches what mine matches. And I pulled it out, and it was at page 350 in Merchants of Light, and it said, they understand that each person's spiritual journey was also a journey to spiritualization the world, to spiritualize the world. And I just thought, isn't that interesting that it all flowed today? And, you know, that we're bringing in people who are listening to with their loved ones and their spirits, you know, which is what I usually call it. And I thought it was really interesting the way things are just like, they fall into place and to remind us that, Yes, the show is about people's personal stories with their loved ones. And, when something interesting happens, something exciting, and everything is kind of amazing. But isn't it kind of cool the way things just kind of fall into place for you when you're just thinking, I'm going to be open to what's happening. And I'll say one more thing and then I'll let you jump in. But I think part of it was about what I'm calling the pause. And that's kind of my new thing is the pause, because we get so involved with life and we do things, every day we're going, going, going. And the other day I was on the phone with my son and daughter-in-law and my new grandbaby, and she's going to be 10 months old, and she's starting to say words, and they will say a word and they pause, and then she'll repeat that word back to them. And I was kind of thinking, wow, isn't that is so cool that that happens. And I mean, now, she's still learning the words, so they don't come out, fully the whole word all the time, but it's so cute. And I thought, that's really what happens when we're doing a meditation. Like when you're meditating for spirit, you're opening up and you're pausing and you're not asking a bunch of questions. Like you can ask for a sign anytime, you can ask for something anytime. But when you want to connect really on this level where you want to ask them something, then you can ask them and just pause. And instead of trying to put words into what you think they're going to say, it's actually, then they can come through and give you a message. So that's what I've been
Wow.
thinking about.
I like it. Yeah. I do too, Janet. I like it very much. We don't pause enough. And your quotation from Merchants of Light was about the High Middle Ages, the mystics of the High Middle Ages. And when they meditated and paused, they realized that their heart was the same as the heart of the world,
That's
that there
beautiful.
was no
Wow.
separation, no difference. I guess, do we have a caller?
I love
Welcome,
that.
Alexis from Arizona. Good evening,
Hey,
Alexis.
how are you? Hi.
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. This is more like a question. So basically, oh gosh, it's a little long. I'll try to shorten it.
That's okay.
So as a child, I used to see spirits. Now, so basically, I don't know what happened, but something happened recently where now it's happening again. It's really sort of difficult to deal with. And it's like sort of interfering with going to work. which is, it's really weird. It's like not something that usually would happen to me, but I had sort of like a spiritual awakening, and the stuff is happening to me again. I guess what is the best sort of route of, I guess, reading material or even someone to speak to about this? Because it's like, I feel like a new path is opening up for me, and it's not my normal job.
Yeah,
It's the
that's
supernatural. So, yeah.
wonderful, though, to have this new path and to have that come back to you. I really think that we have things at one time and then sometimes we don't. But when it's time for us to have it, it comes back.
It might go on pause, like Janet was
Yeah,
just talking
that's
about,
right.
until the right time to
Yeah.
that it will work for
Yeah.
you in your life. But it sounds like you're trying to figure out how to balance it.
Yeah. And so what are some of the, what
Weird.
are,
Yeah. I'm sorry?
go ahead, Alexis. You go ahead, Alexis.
Oh, it's really complicated to deal with because I don't know how to, I'm trying to work on grounding and sort of, imagining like a white light and, all these things. But the thing is, like, I'm like seeing, it's like, oh, like sort of like a portal's open, and it's really strange. And it's really isolating because I have only spoken to, I've spoken to some celebrity psychics. And they basically said, like, you're psychic now, and you're seeing real things because we're seeing it too. So I know I'm not crazy.
Hey, can I make a
yeah.
suggestion? Can I make a suggestion for
Yeah.
you? Okay,
Yeah.
because this is happening, I feel like it is just like reopening is basically what it is to me, is I feel like one of the things you need to do is, because it's happening and it sounds like it might be happening like at, maybe inopportune times, or place you might be somewhere when something comes through, or this or that, you need to like sit down, relax. If you want to meditate, fine. If you just want to talk, to the spirits, and you need to say, okay, you have to, I'll be happy to help. And that's if you're happy to help. If you do it on my schedule, you have to tell them you need to do it on your schedule. You are in charge. You are the person that, the go-to person. And it's great if they want to share something, but you need to say, I have, a life and I will be happy to give you time, but we need to work together. And, I think what it is you're letting the other side know that, you are open. Yes, you might hear something, you might receive something, but, you need to do it when you can fit it into your day as well. And it's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. When something comes through, it can be beautiful. It can stop you. You just want to kind of keep going into that vein of it, but you also have to live. And I know, like, for example, with me, with the languages, when they would come through, when I started spontaneously speaking languages, I had to learn to say, okay, I will be happy to do this, but you have to let me do it on my time. It can't come out when I'm in the grocery store spontaneous and I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then, I'm down walking down an aisle and I'm stopping and I'm thinking, okay, and I finally came to the conclusion that, okay, I can do this, but we are going to do it on my time, and I'm happy to work with the other side to do that. And it really did work. It changed the whole kind of picture because you're in control of what you receive. Even though you're receiving something, you still have the control because it's coming through to you. And you can say, okay, like some people would say to me, oh my gosh, I don't want to see anything, move in my house. Don't. And I'll be like, well, then you have to tell them. You have to let them know. Like I used to always say, I'm from the show me state. You have to show me. So I would make sure that like something would come through and like, the next morning a picture would be turned sideways and I'd be like on my desk and I'd think, okay, they're showing me, So for you, it's really important that you have, kind of rules and you can be open. Be totally spiritual and totally, I mean, I kind of feel like everyone is psychic, but some people at different times are way more psychic than others. And if it's coming through now for you, there's probably a reason. Maybe you're more open, maybe you're more connected in some way, but you also have to do it on your time. Does
I'm
that
good with
help?
you. I've been back. Because I've been telling them, look, like I need to go to bed. You're gonna leave me alone.
And that's
I've
good.
actually been, but the it's just that it's happening a lot more to me, and I'm trying to be firm, and say, look, like this is my time, that's part of the of trying to do the grounding and all that stuff. It's really difficult because it feels like I'm being bombarded, and it's like people are walking in and walking out. It's wild,
Well, do you write it down at all? Do you write down what's coming through?
I haven't been writing down because I just like from what I'm seeing, like I'm seeing a mix of, good people, bad people, and some of it's quite disturbing. So it's really weird to, for example, okay, so I was at Universal Studios, and I know that there is like, people died years ago, but I was seeing children that died like years ago. I mean, from like the turn of the century, you know what I mean? That was really disturbing because they're telling me about what happened to them. But I was a little bit too creeped out because I came abroad because I've never seen dead children like that. So that's what made it. I'm like, okay, this is like really like overwhelming for me because it was mostly adults, and I was like, whoa. And I was like, I was trying to ignore them because I didn't know, I don't didn't know it came at me. And it was really like quite frightening for me because I've never experienced that. And it was just so overwhelming, and the thing is like, I'm naturally having all this stuff happen to me, like after all these years. When I was a kid, I used to see my dead grandparents and my great grandparents in my bedroom, like at night. But that's not happening anymore. It's just new, other spirits and stuff. So, yeah, that's what's happening to me.
Well, I think, I mean,
It's
to,
quite
it,
overwhelming.
right. Go ahead, Betty.
Yes, I'm wondering if do they give you any real insight into what they want from you or what they need to share with you or tell you? Or do they just
No,
appear?
they show me how they died or how they died. So it's and it's quite disturbing. Some of the stuff is disturbing. Yeah. And I moved to a new state, so now I'm seeing other stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think I would try to. Yeah, I think I would try to focus on if a lot of mix is coming through, is to, you know, try to place it by, you know, for me, I would say I would write it down and try to figure out if there's something specific coming through, and it's just coming through in a way that is like that, because it's trying to show you something, or it's trying to, you know, like, it's not, I don't feel like if they're coming through that you're, they're not just going to be doing that for no reason. I feel like if you're seeing something, there is some kind of purpose or some kind of reason why you need to know something. So I would try to either meditate or focus on, you know, what they are trying to show you, or, you know, I would write it down and try to keep a list in some way of what is coming through. And is there something happening in your daily life that compares to what you're seeing? Is it something like that? You know, I mean, there's a lot of different ways it could be coming through, but, you know, just being open to seeing them and seeing the way they pass isn't going to help you move forward in any way, unless you end up figuring out that way. And so you have to kind of work on your side to figure out what's going on. So why, you know, you have to ask, like, why am I seeing this? Why is it coming through now? Okay, go on, Betty.
Janet said, go ahead, Betty.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I'm agreeing with you, Janet. I think that it's very important that you find out why they're there. What is it that they need to share with you? You know, that it's very, very important that you direct it toward information that you need. They must be, as Janet says, there for some reason, you know, and it would be very important. Otherwise, it's like just a nuisance, a bother, you know, an intrusion in a way. But if there's something that they want to share with you.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like locations of places that they died, or they're still stuck here, you know, and that's what I've been seeing. And maybe then I don't know how I could help a kid who passed away in the turn of the century.
There's no time, you know, no time there. And if they're stuck somewhere, maybe they believe you can help them. Janet, what do you think on that?
I mean, the way I see it, and I mean, it's just my one opinion, so there can be a bunch out there, but, you know, the way I look at it is, if you're seeing that, there's a purpose of why you're seeing that. Are you just supposed to be aware that there's a lot of, you know, people around that have passed, and they're just letting you know that you have this ability? And as soon as you say, okay, I recognize it, I understand that, now what am I supposed to do? And maybe, you know, try to ask them in that sense, because, you know, I can say the same as far as, you know, you see different people a lot, but unless they can give me something, I can't dwell on it, because it's not going to really help me or help them. It's simply like, okay, well, if you want me to help you, you have to show me more so I can understand it, so I know what to do next. But you can't let them guide you to how you feel.
Yeah, because some of it was almost like them saying hello, you know. But the thing is, like, I feel like they knew I could see them, so it was like, it's just really strange, you know. And it's gotten stronger, you know. I haven't had this amount of seeing like this, you know. It's strange. It's like a new ability. Yeah.
Well, maybe start reading, you know, I know Forever Family Foundation has a ton of books on their website. There's a ton of books out there that you could read that could help you, you know, move forward with it. And in the meantime, I think I would work on, like, meditating if you can, or, you know, find a quiet space to, you know, connect with, you know, your higher self and find out if you're open, what do you need to know? What do you need to work on? And then you need to also do the work, you know, just because if they're just randomly out there and you see them, that's, like I said, that maybe they're just trying to let you know something simple, that you can simply see people from the other side. And if you're like, okay, and then what you can do, what I say a lot of times is, well, if there's something I need to know, then let me know, you know, come forward and just let me know what I need to know, and that will help me. And so, you know, and sometimes that can help you, like, you know, it could stop you from being in an accident. It could stop you from something else happening. So, you know, it could even be something that's simple, although it's not simple, but it could be something in that vein. So it's kind of important that, you know, don't just get hooked on seeing them and, oh, I'm seeing something else and here's something else. Try to start focusing in and going, you know, further in to kind of, you know, find out what it is. You know, do I need to meditate? Do I need to start writing this down? And if I date it and time it, maybe there's something there. There's going to be a story there that's going to emerge just from what you're getting. It could be something like that. So, you know, you have to put it out there and you know, try a bunch of different ways and not just say, well, I think it's just this and you need to start doing that. I think you need to kind of work on that angle. And it is difficult because especially if they're coming through to you, you have to be open to that, you know, and you have to understand that they need to understand that it's on your time and thank them for coming through. You know, hey, thank you for coming through. But you know what? I'm busy right now. You know, maybe you can let me know in a dream or, you know, in some other way what you're trying to ask or what you're trying to show me. You know, that's the best I can
yeah,
give you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it because it's been very hard to cope with. And it's very isolating when you don't know even know what all these things are. You know, like, okay, like you see a spirit and you're like, wow, like, what is going on right now? And then I guess the fear or the confliction is like, okay, do I want to speak to this person? Are they going to be following me for the rest of my life and tormenting me? I'm just
yeah.
being funny, but like, I'm just like, okay, well, you know, I mean, I'm not to be judgmental. I'm just saying like, okay, well, what am I inviting? I don't want to invite everything. You know what I mean? Like you have
well,
to
and I don't invite any of them. I always surround yourself, you know, in light and don't be inviting anybody who wants to come in to come in. You know, just, you know, you just have to, you have to have protection around you. And, you know, I always do, you know, I do a little prayer and I ask for the light to be around me. And if I feel anything that I'm uncomfortable with, I'm like, thank you. But I'm, you know, I'm going in a different direction. And then I just let it go and they move along and you don't have to worry about it. You know?
Yes, and I think it's
I've been staging and just imagining white light, you know, love, you know, like around me, you know, staging. I don't know. I'm gonna try to put stones around my place. I don't know. You know, get a broomstick. I don't know. Get something. But
I think it's very important for you to remember that you have the power to make decisions of what you want in. You know, as Janet said, first of all, you call the light to help you, but it's you. You know, you really must take that authority, mm-hmm. I think. And, you know, I was thinking that maybe sometimes when this opens up, we can just see that certain levels of people on the other side is that the vision is opening up and we're just seeing things. And then if they notice you're seeing them, maybe they weren't even coming to you, you know. It could be that you just, that vision is opening up and you're seeing different landscapes of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's a possibility. But I think it's so important.
That could be residual. That's perfect. It could be residual energy. I mean, that's all over our planet. Residual energy comes back same time, same place, same everything every year. It's just residual energy. And that could be something you're picking up on as well. So, you know, there's multiple things that could be happening here. So I would just say, you know, to pay attention to what you're getting and focus on, you know, protecting yourself and, you know, simply putting the light around you. But mainly I would try to, you know, don't just like allow everything to come in. Just be like, okay, well, I see that. That's really unusual. It's really interesting. But now it's, thank you for coming by and go ahead.
Yeah, you have the control.
Send you on your way. Yeah.
Thank you, Alexis. Yeah. We really appreciate your call and we wish you all the best in this journey of yours.
Yeah. Thank you.
And feel free to call again,
it.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye. You too. Bye.
Thank you. I'd like to offer the phone number again. It's 888-627-6008. Just know that you make the show, so you never know how important your story might be to someone in need of reassurance that there is life beyond the physical world and that it is possible to communicate with and receive signs from loved ones who have passed. And right on cue, we have Ruby. Welcome, Ruby. Are you
Yes.
from Los Angeles or Lo
Yes.
Hi, well,
Hello.
thank you for calling in. How are
Yeah.
you? What
Good,
would you
good.
like to
Thank you.
share
I'm
with me?
very happy that I was able to get on because I've been trying to catch you guys, and unfortunately, I wasn't able to.
Oh, well, great.
Well,
This is it
this is
then.
our time, Ruby.
Yes,
Go
it is.
for it.
Thank you. So I wanted to know, unfortunately, I did lose my son 3 years ago, and I wanted to know how can I get in more, to notice the signs and be more in contact.
Well, there's a lot of ways. One of the main right ways is to, the thing I say all the time is to simply pay attention and take a little time and pay attention to what's going on around you. And sometimes if you just ask, your son for a sign and then just be open to it and not expect something. You can expect it. Some people expect it immediately, but you can just be open to something. A lot of times people meditate. I mean, I meditate and a lot of times I will meditate and I will ask a loved one, do you have something to share with me? And then I try to be open to that. Instead of asking for something, I ask them simply to share something with me. And I think that that's another way to do that. I think also if you try journaling, which I don't know if you, do that, where you have, a book and you write in it and you talk to your son. And sometimes as you're writing, something will come through or something, a memory, or it will make you stop. There's so many ways to be open. And I think kind of like, even in dreams, I know, Betty is perfect for that too, is there's in a dream state, you can ask for a dream or ask for him to come through in a dream. A lot of times it could just be a little more than a dream that he'll be coming through. And I think, that would maybe be another avenue. I don't know if any of those, if you've tried any of those, or Betty, if you have any other suggestions.
I
Well,
have
no.
tried asking for, for dream, and I do talk to him all the time by myself, and I do meditate, but I haven't seen him in my dream for a while. But there has been times that I just I'm sitting down and meditating, and all of a sudden I just see the scene, unfortunately, that I saw him when it happened. And that's what really gets me really, really sad, and I just to be honest with you, sometimes I don't even know how I'm going on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Betty can relate to that.
Well, I
Think.
yeah, so.
I mean, I think a big thing for you is it's important to, as you move forward day by day and you're asking for him, to come through, I think it's good to be open to allowing him to come through in the way that he needs to. And it could be in, he could come through in a picture, in a song, he could come through in a feeling. And I think it's just a lot of times meditating, and I know I say that a lot and people don't like to meditate, but I really think if you just sit in your own space
It
in a
helps.
place that you love,
Yeah.
it really does help. And it really does help open
Yeah.
you up some. And I think that helps you as you move forward. It doesn't, it doesn't take away grief, but it helps as you move forward with grief. And I think that's
Right.
important too. And I think that, knowing that he is around and he's not way out there, he can be really close to you. They can, our loved ones come in really close. I mean, I've already been tapped on the shoulder or touched on the nose and different things. And I think that it's important to be open to the way he wants to come through instead of, saying, can you come through like this? Can you do that? And I'm not saying that, asking for a sign isn't a great idea. It is a great idea, but if you want to go in other directions, it's a good way
Right.
to try, to try this is to either to meditate or, like you said, ask for a dream to come through, or to simply just sit there and think of them and ask them, what do you want to tell me? Instead of, going into something of, the passing or going into, some direction that you don't really, you start thinking about. Try to, let go of all those thoughts and just allow him to come through. Does that help a little?
Yes, it does. I will definitely try that. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you. Well, thank you for calling in.
Ruby,
Of
before you
course.
go,
Thank you. Yes.
Ruby, wait.
Oh, wait a minute,
Ruby, wait
Ruby.
a second. Are you still
I'm
there?
here. I'm still here. I'm not
Yeah.
going to go.
Okay. Don't go anywhere yet. I was thinking too, I had the experience after my son died, and I thought I was dealing with it pretty well. But in a vision with his dad, my son said that it's hard sometimes to get through to mom because
It
the
is.
grief is so heavy.
Yes.
And I thought I was doing pretty well, actually. And that's when he said, "Tell her to pull up the anchor and the ship will sail."
Like she'll seem have more of me or
She'll have,
something.
yeah, that I will experience even more. And
Hello.
that's one thing. The other is that, sometimes we feel so doubtful. This is my, I'm saying that has been my experience in the past, that I was so doubtful that nothing would happen, that I only realized later that we are all in this biofield, and that and this doesn't mean that you were feeling that way. I did, and it might be a possibility for you. I don't know, but I sometimes think it nothing will happen. He won't come through. I won't be connected to him, that kind of thing. And I realized now that when I did that, I was putting that energy into the field, because we influence the field, and the field reflects back to us. So I kind of began to realize that I had to clear the field in my mind. Not to One is to try to deal with the sorrow and the grief. The other is to know in my heart, try to know he will come through. I have to know he will, and that kind of creates a path for it. Now, that might not apply to you, but maybe,
I think it has. In the past, I had felt, and also the dreams that I had a few times on them. But it's just so very painful each time, that I see him in a way. I'm, in my dream, and then the next day, I'm in a way, I'm happy I saw him. But then, of course, it makes me sad again that I lost him.
How long has it been, Ruby?
It's 3 years.
Yeah, well, that's a short period of time. It's just
He
so
was only,
important for us
he
to
was 24. Yeah, he was 24 years old, and we
That's
never
young.
found out what happened, really. Yeah.
Oh no. Well, that's also hard to bear, not knowing.
It is.
But
Yeah.
well, I, if
It
we,
is. It was
you know,
very
it's
difficult.
he's here, and he will come through. I do believe that, but we just have to
Yes, I
try all
believe
this
it.
way.
I believe it. That's why I
Oh
wanted
yeah.
to talk to you guys.
That's good you'd called in. We're
Yes.
glad you
Thank
called in,
you.
Ruby.
Oh,
Now
absolutely.
we all
Thank you
have to
so
stick
much.
together. You're
Thank you,
very thankful.
Ruby. Thank you so
Thank
much.
you
I
so much.
appreciate it. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, that terrible grief. We've lived in a world that has so cut us off from the other side that I think it must be hard for people from the other side to get through, for us to get through to them. There's not a caller, is there?
No, that was
Yeah.
our producer.
And I was looking, I was remembering when feeling her grief, of thinking of a shamanic journey that I had in Death Valley. There was a shaman with me and my husband, and I had the experience of just going down so far and that I was kind of caught in the underworld, and it wasn't long after my son's death, but I felt I was doing well with it. But I think that I was like a portal for some energy that on the planet that is so powerful and so filled with grief, because so many people have, they are convinced there isn't anything else, because that's what we've been taught for centuries. And so here we are, we're kind of pioneers in trying to break through that veil and make the paths, make the roadways, make the freeways, between these worlds. But in that vision, I suddenly felt an energy coming to me. And as I said, I must have, there was a portal in me because of the grief, but it wasn't as much as what came through me. There was a voice. that I could feel it coming. I knew it was coming, and I knew it was going to speak through me, and it was coming across the desperate, and it screamed through me, it can never be healed. And that was just so devastating. I've tried to think of what that was. It was certainly much, much more than my feeling. I couldn't have carried that strong a feeling. It was something vast, something of the planet. And I think, I don't know, I have different ideas at different times, but it certainly expressed the grief and also an additional grief that comes when there's just so much on the planet, you know, of suffering, that it just seemed like it could never be healed. But I think it's also when we're cut off from that, it's a grief that's just extraordinary. And I think that is in the field. That is in the field of the planet, because I think sometimes we don't realize that for centuries, we have been taught something that's absolutely not true. And it is sort of cut the pathways, sort of destroyed the pathways to the other world. And we are rebuilding them. And I think we just really have to be patient, because that grief is strong on the whole planet, and a kind of a grief that doesn't think there can be anything when there is, you know, because once we know there is, then we know it can be healed. But
in addition to that, that not believing it could even happen, then there's the place where they believe it can happen, but not to them.
Yeah, that's another
thing. They're not special, or they, you know, don't have what it takes, when what you've taught is that we all have the biology to do this.
We do.
And the law, innate
absolutely
desire
and,
to connect.
And the desire that we have it. And in the shamanic world, if one person experiences something, then the shamans say, any one of us can experience it. Now we know we've made a breakthrough. Any one of us can experience it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time, because we are trying to heal a world that has been deeply wounded and cut off.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, and you know, I think it's important, you know, with Ruby and just listening, and Betty, what you said was beautiful. I think honoring our emotions and honoring that grief is important, to allow it to come through, allow it to spill through, and then, you know, keep moving forward. And even if it's baby steps, or you're going backwards and then forward, I think it's important, that movement, that flow. And I know that sounds really strange to say it that way, but to me, it feels like when you're honoring those emotions, you're opening yourself up, you're allowing something different and new to happen around you, because you've experienced something that you never thought you would. You know, you thought you were going to continue your life with someone, and then all of a sudden it's cut off. And now you have to kind of make your way through the muck and figure out what's going on, and how do I, you know, come up for air. And I think it's important to remember those beautiful experiences, honor your emotions, honor your grief, and be open to what can happen. Like, you know, like you said, we all have this ability. Everyone can be open to experiencing their loved ones coming through. And, you know, it helps us move forward. I mean, just think, if we were taught this as, you know, when we were born, when we were young, if we knew this all along, what would happen as we grew older? I mean, I've had experiences all my life that took me a really long time to understand as much as I do, but there's still so much more out there. And so it's just, you know, it's really interesting that sometimes, and I hate to say it this way, it takes losing someone to break us open to experience something greater. And I sometimes think maybe everyone has a different purpose here, and it's for multiple people. And it teaches you so much as well. You know, I don't know if that makes sense at all, but that's kind of how I feel in some of this.
I think there's something to that. And I think too, I want to just add a dream that I had that I think helped me a lot, because I dreamed, I went into a room where there were a lot of, I've said this before, but there were a lot of like lanterns, Chinese lanterns, and one was filled with light. And I knew that that was my son who would be born through me. And then there was a painting, and I looked at the painting and I saw him come through, and I saw him go through the gate into the earth. And then not long after that, he started back up the mountains and went out into the light. And there was an old man, which I knew was my son's soul. He was smoking a pipe, and out of the pipe came the painting. And I'm not telling this very well because of time, but I knew that, I mean, it's a wonderful image too, or symbol of our lives, is that our soul paints a painting, a living painting of our lives. We might live 20 years, 24 years, or 100, but when that painting is finished and the soul is gone from the earth, the old soul there who was smoking a pipe out of which the painting came, he's still there. You know, the soul is there. He or she creates that picture, which is our life on the earth. And when that is completed, then we leave it physically, but we are there still creating.
And connected.
Yeah, and connected. Yeah.
Another a piece that you didn't mention that I really like, I love that story, is that when he came into the painting, you had explained it before, they had a little knapsack over his shoulder, and it wasn't very large. Mm-hmm. And you kind of interpreted that as maybe he didn't have much work to do, or he wouldn't be here very long, or something like this.
Yes, he went through a gate, which on his side was death. On my side, it was birth, life. And he did have, as Kim says, he had a sat carrying something over his shoulder. And I knew in the dream that that meant he had just that much work to do. And when he completed that work, he would be gone. And he was. And but the soul was there.
And he went out the top and would return to the
light. He returned to the light. Yes, he came. He came out of the painting, and then he went back to the light at the top of the painting. But the soul smoking and creating the picture was still there. And spoke to me afterwards.
Oh, gosh.
So,
wow.
That's great. Yeah, that is so great. Janet, I wanted to
come on.
You can, I wanted to say too, I really liked the piece of your message that spoke to not necessarily asking for a certain sign or a vision or a this or a that, but to be opening to kind of an expansive array of any kind of communication from spirit. It just like it wasn't making demands on anything. It didn't need to meet certain criteria.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, it's just a welcome. It's a welcome mat. I'm here.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I think
right.
That's
I love that, Kim. Welcome mat. That's a great.
And when you were speaking of grief a little bit ago, you know, I glanced down on a piece of paper that I had from 5.5 years ago. It was from you, and it was saying about, you know, some of the things that we can discuss on this show would be finding comfort with grief and allowing it to open us to a new space. And I just think those were beautiful words, and I wanted people to hear them. So thank you for those words. And now our audience has heard them.
Yes,
it's so great. So beautiful.
And I agree with you.
Good.
I agree with you, Janet, that the heart, as Khalil Gibran has said, how can the heart be open lest it be broken?
Oh, wow.
And I think that the most difficult time in my life, the times of grief and sadness, were at the same time an opening to the most incredible world, you know? So it was both at once.
Yeah.
And I realized from that we can carry grief and sorrow and also joy and ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
So was really the breaking of the heart.
Yeah.
I'd looked for those things all my life, taught in mythology and fairy tale and other spiritual traditions, but it really wasn't until our son died and we were in contact with him that I was changed, that I knew, mm-hmm. because nothing else would do it.
Some words that you said to me way, 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 way back then were that there were many gifts along the way.
Yeah.
You know, and also some other poetic words that touched my heart was that the sorrow and the joy were inseparably intertwined. That's what life is.
That's true.
And I don't know, there's something about really that true. Too, that through it all, that what Alexis is receiving from people, there's something in there too about a desire to connect. What Ruby shared too is just how can we do it? How can we?
And that love.
I know what I was going to say.
Like
kinda,
a magnet.
I temporarily lost my train of thought. But that those gifts are silver linings that you can only get with that breaking, that
Yeah.
the horrible breaking, shattering, painful,
Yeah, it's
life-altering
true.
things, but that there are gifts along the way. There is a way to find comfort with the grief and open to the new space and what the new possibilities are, given that this is what is.
Yeah.
This is where we are. What can we do to stay connected?
Absolutely, I
Right.
agree.
Right. And it's interesting because I, you know, was thinking about that when I was talking to him about how it is important. And I even realized this too, like because of, you know, being a medium and having these different things happen, that you have to be open to listening to what they want to share. And a lot of times we expect something, you know, you expect them, they're going to come through and give us this. And that's not what they want to give us. They want to give us what they want to give us. And I think it's the fact of being open to not knowing, to, you know, surrendering to not knowing or understanding, but to simply believing that you're open, that what's going to come through will come through in its own time, in its own way, and to be open to it and not be like, okay, well, I need something. And I understand, believe me, that, you know, you want something now. You want a loved one to come through now and give you something. And I've, you know, felt that way myself. But it's the sense of just being open and saying, okay, I know in the right moment you're going to come through and give me what I need, whatever that may be in time. And I think that being open, it causes that to crack open within you to say, okay, they know, and you're listening. And you know, and if you get anything that, you know, you feel like from them, it could be a feeling. It doesn't have to be a word or a vision. It could be this sudden, overwhelming feeling, and just thank them. And that way they know, you know, they know that you got it. They know you heard them. You know, you felt it. And like I always say, you know, if somebody comes up and rings the doorbell and you miss them, they're going to come back to ring it again, you know, and it's kind of the same way. Like if they know if you didn't get it, they'll find a different way to come through. So, okay. Oh, I think we have a caller. Let's go ahead and get
We
that.
have two callers.
Bye.
We have two callers. Kurt from Texas would like to share a personal experience, and then we have Vivian waiting on the line from Florida.
Okay. Okay.
Welcome, Kurt. What would you like to share?
Thank
Thank you for
you.
calling.
Yes, thanks for all you do. There's a, we lost our son about 5 years ago, and it was probably only a few weeks after he was gone, and we were still in the thick of the grief, and my sister-in-law turned to me and said, "So how you doing?" And then in an sort of an oddly vulnerable moment, I said, "I don't know what I'm doing." And I just was kind of, I didn't feel quite that lost, but when she asked, I realized, no, I'm really kind of lost. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to do, actually. I don't know what to do. And then a little while later, I was just walked in the kitchen, and that was about the end of the conversation. Walked in the kitchen, and I was looking at my phone, and I walked past this portrait of our son Dean from his memorial service. And just as I was walking by, I was looking at my phone. So I'm not looking for a sign. I wasn't asking for a sign. I wasn't even looking at his picture, but I'm walking past, looking down at my phone, and I felt almost like a branch was in my way, and I kind of had to duck. And then I felt almost like I got shoved and they sort of knocked off balance. And I turned to where I would have been shoved and where this branch was, and I was looking at the picture. So I'm looking right at the portrait, and full, it's like, it's just a bust portrait, but it's so nearly life size. I looked him right in the eye, and then it was like I was inside the picture. And he said to me, "Dad, you do know what to do." And I said, "No, Dean, I'm not feeling like I know what to do." And he said, "No, you do know what to do." And I said, "I really don't know where you're going with this, Dean." And then he said, "You do you." And it was like he hung up, and then it was like in a Harry Potter movie where all of a sudden everything went blurry and zoomed and all of a sudden I found myself standing in front of, sitting in the room looking at a blank portrait, looking at the portrait again. And it was
Wow.
that fast, but it was 100, and like I said, I wasn't asking for that, but it was, and I haven't, so that said a lot to me. So you do you is a phrase people use, and but it's one that Dean had used, and we would say that to him about, you know, as a form of words of encouragement. And so one of the things that told me, the way I took those three little words, or two words, was, you know, like, Dad, don't worry about me. I'm fine over here. Like, you got to focus on whatever you have, whatever time you have left there. Do whatever you're here to do. So,
That's beautiful.
Beautiful message. I love that he stopped you. I love that he, you know, it made you stop. And that's how it works. It just happens. And like you said, you weren't doing anything. It just happened. He caught you in that moment to just support you. I think that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
What a great reframing for you by Dean. Good job, Dean. Nice.
Yeah.
That is so great, Kurt. Thank you so much for sharing that beautiful experience with our listeners and with us. We are so grateful.
Thank you.
And thank you for all you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We have Vivian also on the line. Vivian, we only have about 4 minutes left, but we're very glad you called in. And it seems like your question, if I get this correct, is that when people pass, is there such a thing as not communicating because they are reincarnating or have been reincarnated? Is that your where you want to go with this?
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much and I appreciate your show. Absolutely. I've always wondered about that question. Is that there's such a thing as not being able to come through for us, people that have been extremely close to us, because they're already moving on quickly into another life?
You know, I've heard that answered by several people, and Janet will probably have something to say, but what I have heard several times is that don't worry about that, because the soul is there. The soul is there. And we are creating lives in time and space. Who knows? We may be living several lives at once, but the soul is there, is present, no matter what else we're doing.
I totally agree with you, Betty.
The soul is there. It can communicate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Janet.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, I totally agree with you, Betty, that if they want to communicate or if they can come through, they can come through. And keep in mind, people may not come through immediately. I've had people that come through 20 years later and, you know, and it's a surprise, but if they can still come through. I feel like they can come through if they want to come through, that nothing is going to stop, that their soul is there.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that answer. It was just something I've always pondered about.
Vivian, I'd like to add something to this. Have you seen the Netflix documentary Surviving Death?
I haven't seen that one. No, Surviving Death. Okay.
Yes, there's a wonderful episode. I think it's the sixth and final episode in that documentary, and it's on reincarnation. And I won't be a spoiler and say anything, but I bet you would love it. Surviving Death on Netflix.
Oh, thank you very much, because I appreciate that, because I do have Netflix, so that's great. Okay, so it's the last final six episode.
Yes, and it has reincarnation in the title, so you may enjoy the others, but that one you should definitely hit.
Yeah, and
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Oh, what wonderful conversations we've had with courageous souls.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like I need to end with the Mahayana prayer.
That sounds
good. Are you ready?
We actually have a couple minutes left, our producer says. If you want to add anything else, we still have a minute or so before you need to go there.
I don't have I would take too long, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That's okay. It was interesting that you had picked up Betty's book in the beginning and we're looking at a page and how it coincided with the theme that you had prior to opening that that page and the synchronicity. And I happened to have picked yours up and was going to ask you, and maybe we can next month or the month after, because you won't be here next month, Janet, with us, but about in your book, you present cases in which departed loved ones offer peace and comfort to those who are left behind. So I think you might have some more good stories to share.
Okay, we will see. We'll have to wait till October, because I won't be here next month.
Okay.
And we've had examples today of some peace and comfort.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Yeah.
Janet.
Thank you,
Yes.
Janet.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and read the prayer then before we end. It's may all beings everywhere with whom we are inseparably interconnected be fulfilled, awakened, liberated, and free. May there be peace in this world and throughout the entire universe. And may we all together complete the spiritual journey. And that's it. So thank you.
Have a wonderful holiday, Janet, and we'll see
I
when
will.
We get back.
Okay, I will see everybody in October, and if you guys, you take care next month, you'll do a great job.
Well, we hope everyone will call in and make it a great show with
we
us.
We need people to call in.
Thank you to everyone who joined us this evening.
Yes, thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.